Lassie ladies and Batura boys. Chomp a cheerful chutney. Curry comb out your luscious locks. And remember, if it's not a cumin, it's a goin.
I'll take a pint of the Toctal to me, please.
Welcome back to The Delicious Pod. I am Omen Thomas Sade.
And I am Nick McGill.
Together we are that delicate arrangement of flavors, the Feckless Momes.
And this, my Gulab Jamun, is Toctal to me.
A tasting menu in the quick service restaurant of Prague Rock, in which non-bread Nick and pickled onion Omen will glut the gorgeous gastronomy of every single sizzling track that roti rock band Jethro Tull have ever fried, roasted, seared, slathered, and served up for our ravenous appetites.
Mm.
We will gobble the Gobi Matar with Andy Giddings. We will devour Dal Makhani with Big Boy Don Perry. And we will blitz through a bucket of biryani with Martin Barr. And if we can withstand the heat of a three chili menu marking, we just may receive the capsaicin congratulations of the butter chicken of Blackpool, the masala maestro, the ghee-soaked geezer, the traveling tandoori, the penny puri with a love for the furry, the chai guy himself, Ian Ayurvedic Anderson.
Do you think we'll be able to have a curry with Ian Anderson?
Someday.
I mean, in April.
I don't know.
When are we meeting JD? JDA, we're meeting him that day of the concert? Is that right?
Yeah. We're going to have a curry with him, and it's going to be really, I'm very excited for that.
But maybe Pappy Tull shows up too. That's what I'm thinking.
And if not, I know a very good large-scale printer in London who can print us out
a cardboard scale cutout.
Yeah. Might be better company, actually.
A little more erudite than the real
more
one.
Talkative, yeah. Nick, exciting episode today. We have a lot to talk about with the song at hand, mm-hmm. but...
Yes.
Before we get there, we are recording this on Burns Night, Robert Burns' birthday, Poet Laureate of Scotland.
That's me clapping. Oh,
don't clap. So what are we going to do to celebrate?
I'm going to burn something, I guess. Is that what happens at Burns Night? Yeah,
I think that's Guy Fawkes Night. No, Burns Night, people just get together, eat haggis, and read poetry. But
drink whiskey.
Yeah, but we don't have any whiskey and we don't have any haggis, so...
Don't worry, boys! I've got some poetry for you!
Mary? Coming in for the save.
I know you don't usually let me in the beginning of the episode for reasons which are obvious.
Mary, what's just one of those reasons for our listeners?
Liability!
Yeah, our insurance is too expensive as it is. You're right.
That's right, yeah. But once every Burns Night, like Brigadoon, we let you come out to do some poetry. So what have you got, Mary?
I've got a wee selection from Address to a Haggis by Poet Laureate Robert Burns. Or as I like to call him, Bobby Burnie.
Is that what you call him?
Wee Burn, Bobby Burnie. I nursed him when he was a wee lad.
That makes sense. That checks out, yeah.
Well, let's launch into it, Mary. We'll sit here like good school boys and just...
Poor devil! I see him o'er his trash, as feckless as a withered rash. His spindle shank a good whiplash, his knave in it, through bloody floor or field to dash. Oh, how unfit! Ye powers wha marked mankind your care, and dish them out their bill of fare. Old Scotland wants nae stinking ware that jupes and luggies. But if you wish her grateful prayer, gie her a haggis.
Very excited to hear the word feckless and jupes in this poem.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Well done, Mary. Thank you for your recitation.
There's a secret message hidden in it.
What's that?
I want haggis.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, we'll special order you some.
We'll see if it's in the budget this year. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. We'll see you around. Please
Please know our umbrella insurance has just run out, so we're gonna have to have you get out of the studio. Yeah.
You gotta get off the property. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There is no insurance which can cover me.
You're an act of God, Marley. We got you covered. It's fine.
With that out of the way, Nick, what is the song about which we are talking till this very fine Burns night?
We are talking a favorite of mine, of ours, I would say.
Favorite of both.
We are talking Like a Tall, Thin Girl.
And I mean girl.
Let's listen.
And I mean listen.
Nick,
good golly gee.
That was Like a Tall, Thin Girl. Spicy, short.
Oof.
A short song for a tall girl, yeah.
3.5 minutes. It doesn't feel short, though. It's very filled out.
Feels tall.
Yeah.
Nick, this is, as we mentioned, a favorite song of ours. Mm-hmm. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I remember one innocent summer at the Renaissance Festival when I had a very brief, inexperienced, and awkward fling with an older woman who was very lithe and tall.
Oh.
I think we sang that song about her.
Sure. I was gonna say that we encountered this song when we were at an adolescent age.
Yeah. 15, 16, probably somewhere around there.
And so I think that some of the sexual nature of the song kind of was titillating at that time.
Yeah. I didn't know any of what it meant, but it made me tingle and I enjoyed it. Now I know what it means and it makes me tingle and I still enjoy it.
And you've been hunting the giraffes ever since.
Oh, I'll never have that high again.
Yeah. Nope. Not without a stepladder. So what's fascinating about this song for me is content to come. The style that it's played in is so fun. It's got so much playfulness. It's got so much lightness. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It references another tall song in it, much like Taylor Swift is wont to do. I may not be a fat man. And if you go all the way back to Fat Man on Stand Up back in 1970,
yeah,
there is a musical similarity. It almost as if this is a, you could put the two back to back and listen to the mandolin riff on Fat Man and listen to the mandolin riff on this and think, you know, okay.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a similar idea that is now evolved into, you know, a much higher level of musicianship.
Yeah, the mandolin in this is
gorgeous.
So good. Spread it on toast. I will have it for breakfast. It is thick and meaty and substantial, and it's so good.
Full of protein. It's got 19 grams of protein per serving.
You can't find that anywhere else.
No. I mean, a serving size is one metric vat, but still.
Of mandolin, yes.
One vat of mandolin, please.
The drums are awesome in this.
Oh, yeah.
Bass. Who's on bass? This is Baby Peggy. This is Matt.
Is it really? Yep.
It's so dirty. It's so filthy. You hear the strings. Pretty sure it's a stand-up. It sounds so loose and vibrating.
It's not the only thing. That was a question that I had before Martin's electric guitar comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that everything else is acoustic.
Yes.
And of course, the mandolin is acoustic. I think we have an acoustic guitar in there. I think the bass, like you said, is acoustic.
It is, yeah.
And it provides this beautiful, warm environment of sound.
Yeah, either the bass is acoustic or they have the electric bass where the the strings are so loose that they just, she's just playing with spaghetti.
Because you can hear it slapping against the neck, right?
Yeah, there's so much vibration there. You can't get with just an electric guitar. I mean, I could be wrong, but.
I think it's acoustic. I think we can say it's acoustic.
Yeah.
Who's going to stop us?
Don Perry will.
Oh my God, he's here.
He's here. He just ate Marley.
Fortunately, he can't get through the door. It's a regular size door.
Did you ever watch It Follows?
No, that sounds like a...
Oh, you don't like horror?
No.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it's very good. Highly recommended. There's a big giant guy who like steps through a door and has to like bend down and then he stands up. Ooh, nightmares to this day.
Is he played by the same guy who plays the tall guy in Twin Peaks?
I don't know Twin Peaks, so I wouldn't know.
Okay, he's also the same guy who plays Moff, the servant of the mother of ship's counselor Deanna Troi in Star Trek Next Generation. Does that ring any bells?
None of those words ring any bells.
Never mind. We're going to forget all of this ever happened.
The magic of editing. Poof. I feel like it's been a while since we've had one of these, but I do feel like this song paints such a sonic picture that I can see it as a scene in a movie.
Yes. Yes. I was going to ask you, Nick, before we get much further into the music, are you a lover of Indian food?
Yes, very much so.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yep. What's your favorite dish? Or what do you tend to go for?
I don't think I've ever been consistent with a dish because we don't go often enough for me to be like, I've tried everything, so now I know what I want.
You always are trying something new.
But if goat is on there, I will get goat. Regardless of what it is, I'll get goat. I love goat.
I love a goat curry. I love a lamb curry.
I think lamb's a bit overrated. It's so tough compared to goat. Goat just like so soft.
It is very soft. I love biryani.
Mm.
That's a rice dish.
Okay,
it's like that light, fluffy rice dish that has spices and herbs in it.
Yeah.
I do love a tandoori. My wife usually gets tikka masala, which is actually an English dish.
Yeah.
Like invented in England. It's the sort of...
From when they colonized, I'm assuming?
When Indian food was brought back to England. It's sort of the English equivalent of orange chicken, right? Like it does not exist in China.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was invented for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I love a lassi, a mango lassi. Oh my gosh.
Ray loves a good mango lassi, yeah.
The thing that strikes me about the music in this song is that you have the underlayer, and it reminds me of the composition of an Indian dish.
Hmm.
You have the underlayer, which is warm and spicy, but kind of just like, you get that texture from the bass and everything.
Hmm.
And then you get these really exotic hits off of the flute, off of Ian going, whoop! She was a tall, thin girl. It reminds me of when you're eating a biryani, for instance, and you get that chunk of cardamom, you get the cardamom flour.
Yep.
Where you've been sort of tasting it from afar, and then suddenly it's like, oh my God.
You get a single seed of coriander. Yeah, same thing. Yep.
Yes, yes. It explodes in your mouth. I'm literally, my mouth is literally watering. When I was writing the triptych, I was like, oh my God, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, it's been too long since we've had Indian food. Apparently, not surprising, apparently there's a really good one in Ithaca.
I was wondering if there might be.
Yeah.
We had a local place that we would get from probably once a month. And then one day, unfortunately, Katie got food poisoning. And so...
Never again.
Not ordered back there.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's a big bummer. It's easy enough to stop going to Taco Bell when you get food poisoning, this guy. But like a really good Indian place, that's a big bummer.
I would just go back. I'd be like, you know, whatever. Everybody has a bad night.
I mean, it's worth a shot. Fool me once, shame on you. food poison me once, shame on you. Food poison me twice.
Hey.
I need a doctor.
We have a section where everybody kind of gets funky. At about 150, we have one of my favorite things in any Tull song ever, which is that...
His scatting, yeah.
Thank you. the Ian special scatting. Mm-hmm. Very special scatting. Special scat Eddie Jobson.
Special scat right there.
It is so unique. It is so funny. It is so filled with meaning. Like, I feel like I know what he's saying, even though he's saying nonsense.
He's moved. He's moved in the moment. Maybe it's one of those, I don't think it's the case because I think he can hold his heat, but maybe it's one of those, like, you eat something so hot, you're just like, just praying for Lassie.
I love that interpretation. I think that's fantastic. I was thinking of when you are, you know, you're a smooth, elegant person, but then you unexpectedly are face to face with somebody who's really attractive and it catches you off guard and you're like,
yeah.
And you're kind of like, I'm gonna
Yeah.
It could be either. It could be both. I think that's a great confluence of metaphors. A couple seconds after that, we have a gorgeous mandolin riff right at 2 minutes. Then at 10 seconds after that, we have Ian's beautiful throaty flute solo.
Yeah, that whole breakdown is really nice.
It's great. We have some excellent moments when we mention the bongos. We hear Doan Perry go, ra-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Put his Madras heart on the bongo trot if you know just what I mean.
Anything else to say musically about this song, Nick?
4-4, just a quick solid 4-4 all the way through?
Quick 4-4, yeah.
Yep, okay. It's great. It feels formulaic in a way, but that's not a complaint. It's very much enjoyable as a piece that you know what to expect. You've got your verses, your choruses, verse chorus, breakdown, verse chorus, that kind of thing. But it works. It all works very well. At no point in this song am I ever bored.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a radical structure, but there's, like with food, there is that familiarity that you, because you know what it is, you just want to go back for another bite and feel the heat.
Yeah.
It's addictive in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's spicy. It's good and spicy.
So the hilarious thing about Indian cuisine is that Indian food, like tikka masala, is the national dish of England. I read a study that showed that some high percentage of Londoners are physically addicted to curry.
Wow.
Like, display all of the same things that you would, that you'll be displaying in a few weeks once you run out of Oxycontin for your shoulder.
But curry is such a generic term, right? Like, a curry can be any number of seasoning combinations.
That's true. I think that there are some standard things that go into it. And so maybe it is that capsaicin. It could be the capsaicin from the peppers. It could be the cumin or the fenugreek. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it.
I think the pepper definitely plays something into it. I mean, people love that pepper high. I love that pepper high. Love spicy food.
Ian said at one point, I think this was in one of the solo albums, he said that capsaicin is almost should be illegal. It's the most fun you can have with a non-regulated substance.
Yeah. The habanero reel, I imagine, is what that's from.
Oh, right.
He does have on his blog, he does talk about Indian food and how to pick the right one and stuff like that. So,
oh, yeah, he's a real lover of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to imagine when Indian spices and Indian cooking techniques arrived in England. I mean, previous to that, the most flavorful things that people in England had tasted was French food. And that was really only for like the really higher ups.
Yeah.
That became fashionable in Regency England. I was just reading about this in that book about Beau Brummel that you sent me. And French food is not spicy.
No. Buttery. Rich. Not spicy.
Very rich. Very buttery. Yeah. Very refined in some cases, but not spicy. So it just must have been a complete revelation of the mouth.
And to get into culinary anthropology here, spicy foods you'll find in really hot places. So India, Mexico, right. Things like that. Because spicy food makes you sweat. When the sweat evaporates, it cools you off.
It helps you regulate, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and because a lot of those spices grow.
They also grow there, yeah.
In those areas.
Yeah, convenient. Because this is a song that references a band member.
Yes, it does.
The band member whom we have not yet spoken about. I think we want to do just a tiny little quick bio on Mr. Don Perry.
I would like nothing better than that.
For starters, Don Perry is the second ever American member of Jethro Tull. First one being Jerry Conway, I believe, right?
Jerry Conway's English.
Oh, he is.
Not only is Don Perry an American, he's from New York State.
He's from Mount Kisco, where my beloved lived her first 20 years of her life.
Something in the water there.
Yeah. She can also play the drums like a monster.
She must have stepped in a Perry puddle.
Gross.
He was formerly of the band Dragon, out of New Zealand in the early 70s.
Sounds right. He's played for a lot of people in genres such as rock, pop, jazz, fusion, R&B, classical, world, and folk. They decided not to use an Oxford comma there. That's a curious choice. He's appeared on over 100 successful records within his musical career in capacities as performer, composer, producer that achieved gold to multi-platinum status. So he's pretty prolific.
Yeah, he's well-rounded. He went to school in New York City as a young man. Went to high school there, and then he sort of did a little tour of colleges in New York City. He went to the New School, Rutgers, and Juilliard, but doesn't look like he finished a degree at any of those.
Yeah, I don't think so. It was one of those classic situations of, do I stick out and finish college, or do I quit and just join the music industry now? And he did. That's when he quit.
In terms of Jethro Tull, he has been on Crest of a Nave, Rock Island, Catfish Rising, Roots to Branches, JTull.com, and the Jethro Tull Christmas album.
Yeah, is he the second longest member behind Martin? I think that's what it is.
Is it really?
I think I read that somewhere.
87 to 2003. It's a pretty long stretch.
That's about a third of, it's a third now. So yeah, I mean, he's been around for a while.
He also worked on Divinities, 12 Dances with God, and Ruby's Dance, both with Ian Anderson. He worked on a couple of Martin Barr albums, The Meeting and Martin Barr, 2012.
Yep.
He also worked with Dave Pegg on A Box of Pegs.
Yes. Yeah. What he also did was he created a movie, like an instructional video called Creative Listening in 1990. Oh, and it's apparently, really? It's still shown in music schools now. I'm looking at it on Todo Colección, the VHS, which appears to be just like a Spanish eBay, for £25. That's it.
It's to do, what is the purpose of it?
The back of it says, perhaps best known as the power behind multifaceted rockers Jethro Tull, Don shows you how he came up with... Oh, it's being covered there. How he came up with parts to 5 stunning original compositions, a broad range of changing meters, tempos, and Don breaks each song down section by section so that you can see the parts on your own.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically instruction.
Something for the children.
Yeah, it's from 90, so he's got a great, gorgeous, curly head of hair.
Yeah.
Looks like it's been permed.
It may have been.
Yeah, so that's Don.
Mark Craney was the first American.
That's it, yeah.
Third longest standing member.
Oh, third longest, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder who it is. Is it Ian Martin and then Don, maybe?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about Ian. Yeah. But yeah, that makes the most sense.
Well, great. That's Don Perry.
That it is.
And he's tall, which factors into this song.
Yes, correct. And one more thing, we've got ourselves a new writer in her. Came in literally just today, like an hour ago while I was eating supper. Yep.
That's so exciting.
This email is entitled, Beside Myself, My Greatest Tall Moment. This is Tim G.
Tim.
He says, greetings, Momes. For quite some time, I've enjoyed your excellent podcast on the history and work of the band I love the most. Since the early episodes, I've been looking for an opportunity to chime in and contribute to the conversation. Unfortunately, I don't have much new to add on the common topics for writer-inners. My jumpstart is truly unremarkable. I stole my dad's vinyl copy of Thick as a Brick. Yawn. But knowing that Roots was on the horizon, I saw an opportunity to share my most emotional Tull experience, my sweet dream, if you will. To set the stage, the year was 1995, and I was a junior in high school. To my knowledge, I was the only Tull skull in my small suburban town outside of Atlanta, and I sincerely believed that the band I loved was a thing of the past.
Wow.
True, the release of Catfish Rising wasn't ancient history, but from my youthful perspective, the four-year lapse could only mean that Ian and the crew had called it a day. There was no more juice to squeeze from that wonderful Tull fruit. One day, as I was driving to the grocery store, radio tuned to the local FM rock station, it happened. My sweet dream. I heard words uttered that I'd never before heard over the airwaves. Via FM radio, I have experienced this one time and never since. I heard the DJ announce, "I have in my hands the new single from Jethro Tull's soon-to-be-released album, Roots to Branches." I was dumbstruck. I suppose the internet existed back then, but it was not a common source of information for me. I had no idea that Tull was still together, that Ian had been writing music, or that a new album was on the way.
Wow.
I frantically careened my Volkswagen into a bank parking lot, nearly sideswiping oncoming traffic, and cranked up the stereo with a frankly embarrassing level of expectation. I'll never forget my first time hearing the opening hammer-ons of the acoustic guitar intro for Beside Myself. I think I almost cried. Not only was a new album on the way, but within the first few seconds, I could tell it was going to be really good. These first few minutes of fresh Tull were familiar and innovative in equal parts. In the years since, I've seen Jethro Tull live many times, and I've enjoyed Ian and Martin's respective projects, but I have to say that I've never had a happier Jethro Tull moment. That crystallized memory is my sweet dream. And that's saying something, because one time, Martin Barr gave me a hug. In closing, I would like to say that Talk Tull to Me has brought me a similar happiness.
Aww.
I'm the sort of person who appreciates the musical content of a song first and has a tougher time getting into the lyrical elements. Honestly, I usually don't get around to thinking about what a song is actually about. That's just the way I'm wired. Every week I look forward to the deep dive you take into each song's lyrics. Over and over again, I realize, just as I did in that bank parking lot, that this band still has so much to appreciate. Keep up the good work, and thank you for all you do, Tull Skull Tim.
Timmy G, thank you so much for writing in. I'm so glad that we have found the Tim G spot. And I first want to say, you know, the fact that you stole your dad's Thick as a Brick album, that's not boring. That is classic. That is
right.
A classic, classic, archetypical jumpstart. So not boring at all.
Right.
And in terms of, you know, being, you were in the same state in 95 that Nick and I were in 2003, you know, feeling like we would never have another Tull release. And
yeah.
And here we are, you know. I think that must be a common thing that a lot of people experience, but wow, I can't imagine what it would be like to hear announced on the radio a new Jethro Tull single. I mean, that
right.
has not been an experience that we've had, I think.
Right, because the radio, that was your anchor back then to news, to music news, you know?
Yeah, it really was.
We have the internet, we have Spotify, we have all of that. We're really spoiled, but in a sense, we do lose that magic.
Yeah, yeah, because everything is so fractured. You know, you're on the newsletter, you get pinged on your watch when your Google alert about Jethro Tull comes out.
Yeah.
Which is also fun and special.
Right. And we have the added bonus of being having a good old friend, JDA, helping us out too. So we do get a bit of a scoop that I feel like
scoop
in our sense is also super exciting for me. We have that privilege that we're so lucky to have that access that JDA gives us.
And we're lucky to have stories like yours, Tim. Thank you so much for writing
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
If we ever see you, we will give you a hug as well. And then you can compare and tell us who's the better hugger, Martin Barr or both of the Feckless Moms at the same times. All three arms of the Feckless Moms.
Yeah, we do a sandwich. Just be prepared.
We are the bread.
Omen likes to be the backpack. Wait, no, what's the jetpack?
Jetpack is when you spoon someone, when the small person spoons the big person from behind.
Oh, that's what it is.
Nick
Holman.
Here we are in the second portion of the podcast. Your drugs are hitting. You are now higher than Ron DeSantis's heels. And we are going to talk lyrics to A Tall Thin Girl.
I've heard those references about his heels. Is that because of, oh wait, is it he wears lifts? Or is it going back to that time when he like visited like a hurricane and he had these great big like galosh boots on?
White boots?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People speculate that he wears lifts inside his boots, which there's nothing wrong with. I have a pair of lifted heels.
Yeah.
And a pair of regular heels. And I love them. But it's funny to me when it's like something that he would not want known.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's only funny and okay to pick on someone if they're ashamed about it. And if it's Ron DeSantis.
And if it's, yeah, and if, yeah. It, and if they're an asshole
right-wing
politician.
Cancerous lump on society. Yeah, that.
Yeah. Speaking of lumps, Nick, this song is about getting takeout from an Indian restaurant.
It's it. We're done. That's it. We covered it. Yeah.
Tune in next week. There's some great references to the food itself.
Mm-hmm.
Also an interesting kind of categorization in the first line. Well, I don't care to eat out in smart restaurants. I'd rather do a vindaloo. Takeaway is what I want.
Well, I don't care to eat out in smart restaurants. I'd rather do a vindaloo. Takeaway is what I want.
Interesting that, you know, this feels like a very personal Ian song.
It does, yeah.
And it's interesting that he comes out of the gate with, I don't like to go dining. Thank you very much.
Right. I just want to pick up my curry, go back to the hotel and eat in peace and watch the news, watch CNN.
Eat it in the bathtub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably the best way to do it.
That makes sense. We know that he's a little reclusive, doesn't prefer to be out in big crowds.
Totally
understandable.
Don't blame him.
Interesting that also, you know, Indian food is kind of like considered takeaway. Of course, there are. You can do fine dining Indian restaurants.
Yeah.
But I think that it is more common to do takeaway. So it's kind of cool.
But also, there is in between, you know, you could go sit in a hole-in-the-wall Indian restaurant. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy or takeaway. But this is Ian being like, I want to be out as little as possible. So I go in, I pick up the bag, and then I'm done.
Vindaloo is a very spicy dish. It is one of the spicier Indian dishes.
Yep. It has 175,000 to 500,000 points on the Scoville scale.
Oh my God.
That's big boys right there.
Down to the old Bengal, having telephoned a treat.
I was down at the old Bengal, having telephoned a treat.
I just love that it's called the Bengal.
Yeah.
That's an area in India that is being referenced.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what some of the local places that I've been to have been, but they're always like Tandoori Kitchen or...
Yes, yeah.
You know, Vindaloo Dreams or...
Yeah, what did we have?
There was... Non-issue. The non-disclosure agreement.
There was... Oh, that was really good. That's our next job. There was one in... When we lived in Connecticut/Brewster, there was one like right on the border between the two states that we went to regularly. And that's where I got one that was so hot, it gave me the hiccups.
Oh, I love it.
It was, God, was it an experience. I think that was a Rogan Josh that I asked for extra heat on.
Well, I saw that as a food title. What is a Rogan Josh?
It's a curry.
That's really funny. Then we get the reveal. Phoned in for his takeout. He's gone to pick it up. I saw her framed in the kitchen door and she looked good enough to eat.
And I mean eat.
When I saw her framed in the kitchen door, she looked good enough to eat. And I mean eat.
This is the thing about this song that I think really makes it, is this ridiculous repetition of whatever word.
Yeah.
And then, and I mean that word, when it's really not necessary. It's like, and she looked good enough to eat. And I mean eat. You can carry me off to bed, and I mean bed. It's like...
But you can carry me off to bed, and I mean bed.
Yeah, I mean, the innuendos there. No, it's double entendre and then single entendre is what it is.
And then it's barely a double entendre.
Yeah.
It's basically a single entendre, and then it's like, just in case that wasn't clear.
Yeah, that's true. It is not double entendre at all. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, It's like, let me make this subtle joke. It's not a joke. It's a statement, and I'm highlighting it.
Yes, boldface. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean eat.
Cap locks.
A little bit of the nanny goat voice in here.
Yes, and almost a different form of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An evolution of the nanny goat.
Yeah. It's got the gruffness behind it, but it's significantly less vibrato, shaky.
Yeah. It kind of goes into that throaty.
Yeah. And I mean eat. Yeah.
Ew. And
I
mean eat.
I don't know how to characterize that. She was a tall, thin girl. She looked like a tall, thin girl.
She was a tall, thin girl. She looked like a tall, thin girl.
I think I find that to be an interesting distinction.
Yeah.
She was tall and thin, and she looked it. It's almost like that redundant.
Yeah, you're right. It's the, and I mean eat, and I mean she was a tall, thin girl, yeah.
And he says that again. It later says, this girl was tall, and I mean tall.
This girl was tall, and I mean tall.
Have you ever met someone who was so physically striking that you were just like, couldn't stop talking about them? Not even necessarily from a level of attraction, but you're just like, she was so tall.
What a good question. It's usually eyes. If eyes really pop out to me, if they have like a really gorgeous set of eyes, I get focused on those.
Yeah. If eyes pop out to me, I usually try to put them back in.
Put them back in. But you got to keep your hands moist while you do it.
That's why I always carry wet paper towels in my pockets.
Perfect. She said, whose is this carry out? My face turned chili red.
She said, whose is this carry out? My face turned chili red.
That is a Velvet Mondegreen for me.
Is it a bear? Is he shaking his hair? Is it Velvet Mondegreen?
I always heard her face turned chili red.
Huh.
Which, in a sense, without that part, with it just being my face turned chili red, this is Ian, our narrator, our singer.
Yeah.
Experiencing this, and he just saw a pretty girl, period.
Right.
If her face turns red too, that means there's something here. There's something clicking. So I always misinterpreted this just because of that single word.
Or some recognition. Oh my God, it's finally happened. Ian Anderson's ordered a curry from us.
That's true. Just recognition. Yeah.
But with the way that it's written, it falls into the category of songs where beautiful women have all the power.
Yes.
Which is great. I love it.
Yep. Usually in those a backstage or in a restaurant or something that clearly is close to home for Ian, you know, his home away from home. It's something that he's clearly experienced. So he's putting himself and these empowered women in these moments.
Yeah. Even she said she was a dancer.
Oh, sure.
More extreme example, Hunting Girl.
Yeah, Hunting Girl, I think, feels the most fantastical to me.
It's more of a fantasy setting, but it's the same dynamic. Of like, she has all the power. She's beautiful. She's amazing.
Yep. And that's a really interesting thesis that if we go through all of these, how does she choose to use her power? Thinking about a Hunting Girl.
Right.
Making him get down and bite the bit and things.
In this case, she doesn't do anything with it. She's just trying to get the order to the next person.
Yeah, so this is clearly like one of those moments, and I'm 9,000% confident that you and I have both had this moment where you're like, oh, we clicked. We had a moment. And then on the other side of the door, the lady's like, all right, I gotta go take a shit. You know, like there's no connection.
Zero. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Completely fabricated.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, I like the way that it's written makes it obvious that she says, whose is this carry out? And he doesn't say back to her, well, I don't know about carrying out, but you carry me off to bed. He doesn't say shit.
No.
He goes,
goo, it's mine.
That couplet there about carrying out to bed. So, well, I don't know about carrying out. So he's not claiming the dish just yet, but you can carry me off to bed in his head.
Literally.
She is the one scooping him. Did you ever see Wayne's World?
Probably a long time ago.
Kim Basinger, was it one or two? I think it was one. Kim Basinger scoops Garth up and carries him over the threshold, and that's all I can think of.
I imagine the girl in this scenario scruffing him like a kitten.
and tossing him out the door. Not romantically in any way, just like, get out of my kitchen.
Yeah. Or like carry him off to bed, but like, yeah, as a little, yeah. as a toy, as a little pet.
Yeah. He sleeps at the bottom curled up. Yeah.
That's how, but that's the level of the differential. No, not only the height differential, but the power differential, the yes. attractiveness yep. differential that we're describing in this song, which is so great.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get to the chorus. She was a tall, thin girl. She moved like a tall, thin girl. Maybe I can fetch for it.
She was a tall, thin girl. She moved like a tall, thin girl. Maybe I can fetch for it.
He's even putting himself lower. He's no longer a man. He's made himself a dog.
Yeah.
Maybe I can stretch for it.
Maybe I can stretch for it.
What can I do to earn your love, tall, thin girl?
Yeah, both action-wise, but also physically. Like, even if he had a chance, could I even kiss her on the mouth?
Right, I'll give you a kiss if you can answer these three riddles and then reach my mouth.
Right. I just ordered a set of Apple boxes off of Amazon. They should arrive.
Well, I am on Prime, so it should be any day now. Then we get a bit of a bridge, our Fat Man reference.
It's interesting here because after having put himself lower and lower and lower, mm-hmm. it almost seems like the singer needs to recoup some of his stature.
Right. He's trying to defend himself at least a little bit.
It's like, yeah, it's like to her, he's like, just put me in your pocket and put a collar on me. And then to yeah. the guys, he's like, hey,
exactly.
I'm a guy.
I may not be a fat man and I'm not exactly small, but when it all comes down, couldn't stand my ground. This girl was tall.
I may not be a fat man and I'm not exactly small, but when it all comes down, couldn't stand my ground. This girl was tall, and I mean tall.
Yeah, this is definitely him addressing the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Like, I wussed out. She was too big and intimidating and beautiful. I took my curry and I ran.
Right.
I could not stand my ground.
I ran like a dachshund.
Chasing a rat, yeah.
Big boy Doan, he's a drummer. He don't play no tambourine.
Big boy Doan is a drummer. Don't play no tambourine.
That's hilarious because Ian is the one who always plays the tambourine.
Yep. And I think it was last episode, I think it was Doctor to My Disease, somewhere where there was a lot of tambourine work. And we were like, is that Doan? Because it's drums, etc. I think it was Jupson pointed out, tall, thin girl, he says, Doan doesn't play the tambourine at all. So we can assume, honestly, that could just be for the story, but it also, like, Ian's always played the tambourine.
It could also be that he's so big that he has to play. The only thing that is worthy of him playing is this massive stacked drum set.
Yeah.
We've seen the pictures of Doan's drum set. It's like he's sitting in a tank.
It's a big boy drum set. Yeah, for sure.
So he's too big to play such a small instrument as the tambourine.
When did Doan leave the band?
Oh, you're wondering if we saw him.
Yeah.
I think that we did.
I think we must have seen him. It wasn't 2003, right? Then we wouldn't have seen him.
He toured until 2011.
Oh, then we definitely saw him.
Yeah.
Every single time we saw Tull,
yep.
It was Doan. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, here's a Velvet Mondegreen. The line is, but he's madras hot on the bongo trot.
But he's madras hot on the bongo trot, if you know just what I mean.
For some reason, I had always heard, but his head rests hard on the bongo drum.
I think I can hear it.
If you know just what I mean. And I was always like,
I don't know.
I don't really know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't.
What is madras, Oman? Do you know?
Madras is an area of India. And I believe it is also a type of curry, but maybe you know more.
I personally thought it was a type of pepper, but it is. It's a city. It used to be called Madras. Now it's called Chennai.
Right.
It's on the Bay of Bengal in eastern India, and it's the capital of the state of Tamil Nadu.
Which is a fun thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Madras cloth. I think the name
is
applied to a lot, but I've heard of like Madras curry.
Yeah. Curry is such a general catch-all phrase that they do put in, like a vindaloo is a curry,
yeah.
A Rogan Josh is a curry.
Oh, it's so many types.
Yeah.
Madras is orange in color and is a fairly hot curry sauce.
Okay. Does it give Scoville units? Just want to see where it falls with Vindaloo.
Madras Curry, like Vindaloo, can reach levels of up to 100,000 Skull Heat units.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
It is a little milder than Vindaloo, but it is...
It's hot.
Definitely up there, yeah.
Stands 6'3" in his underwear. Gonna get him down here to see if this good lady's got a little sister about the same size as me.
Stands 6'3" in his underwear. Gonna get him down here and see if this good lady's got a little sister about the same size as me.
Yeah, so he's using Don as his wingman. Don is the one who can approach the tall, thin girl because they're actually looking eye to eye. But our narrator's like,
"Or
come on, I want something here.
At least nearer to eye. Yeah, at least he can have a conversation with her because his head is close enough to hers for her to be able to hear him.
Yeah, he doesn't have to yell up. He doesn't have to hire a Sherpa to pass his messages up to her.
Right. Excuse me, please take this tin can with a string attached to it.
What's Stan's 6'3" in his underwear?
It's like, I think that's just a little bit of a language play. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's like somebody's 135 pounds
soaking wet.
Somebody's 100 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
It's like without his shoes on, he's 6'3".
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't need any help. He's a natural 6'3".
He's a shower of 6'3".
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a play on that. Definitely. Yeah.
It's very old fashioned. This idea of, hey, I think that you would like my friend. Have you got a friend for me?
Yeah, right. Right. Little finder's fee, anything, you know? Because you don't want to be the third wheel, you know?
No.
Unless you're into tricycles, and then you'd probably be pretty happy with it.
It reminds me of the line in Grease. Tell me more, tell me more. Could she get me a friend?
Tell me more, tell me more. Could she get me a friend?
Just to button up the last chorus, we have again, well, can I fetch for it? And maybe I can stretch for it. Well, am I up for it? Or do I have to go down for it?
Down for it.
Well, can I fetch for it? And maybe I can stretch for it. Well, am I up for it?
Up for it.
Or do I have to go down for it?
I just love, I mean, this is such a fantastic song in so many ways. It's got everything that my heart could desire. It's almost like the embarrassment of it is what's so fun about it. Like, you're sweating from the curry, you're sweating from the embarrassment, you're sweating from the heat of the kitchen, you're sweating from your state of arousal at seeing this lady.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot going on, much like in this song itself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of external stimuli going on that could lead you in any number of directions, and it just so happens that he couldn't stand his ground. He went back to Don and explained the situation, and Don's like, I got you, buddy. Let's go. He scoops up Ian under his arm.
She actually stepped on him while trying to look for whose curry it
was. Right, yeah. He made her slip. It was really embarrassing.
Really embarrassing. Curry went everywhere.
Yeah.
There's something refreshing about a manly man. Ian is a manly man in a lot of ways. He, as we know from four-wheel drive low ratio.
But not toxically so.
Right, and this is nice to have somebody say, that girl, I cannot handle.
Like, yeah, right. To be able to admit one's weaknesses is really a sign of an advanced human being.
I am an accomplished lover, but that is too much woman for me.
Yeah.
I'm an accomplished curry eater, and that is too spicy for me.
Yeah.
Nick, anything else to say about Like a Tall Thin Girl?
You just said the whole title again, and it really got me thinking. The song is not, I mean, in a way, it's about this tall, thin girl, but it's really trying to convey something like a tall, thin girl.
Mm.
It's a very interesting choice to add that like a on the front of it, and I'm trying to decipher it a little bit.
Almost like that drink was like making love to a woman. That curry was like a tall, thin girl.
Yeah.
That tall, thin girl was like a tall, thin girl.
I mean tall, thin girl. Yeah. what do you mean, that's, Ian? Like a tall, thin girl. Yeah.
No, that is interesting. It's like almost as if this idea had been created of like, imagine the tall, like this thing. I like tall, thin girls. And so imagine the superlative of that. And that's what I'm comparing this guitar to, or that's what I'm comparing this overcoat to. But then you actually meet the real version of that imaginary thing. And the only thing you can compare it to is that imaginary thing that you came up with.
Yeah, right, right. You don't have a form of reference to go on.
She broke the scale of tall, thin girlness.
Yeah, her tall, thin Scoville scale. Yeah.
Exactly. So the only thing you could compare her to is her.
Yeah, right, right, right. Exactly, yeah.
That's interesting.
Completely foreign, yeah.
But do I have to go down for it? So?
Yeah. Nick, what are we talking about next week?
We still have we have five more tracks to cover on this album. We are covering the song that is our new writer in her, Sting. It is White Innocence. This is a long one, right? Isn't White Innocence like 7 minutes? Am I making that up?
No, you're not making that up. That will be another song about power dynamics and men and women.
Yes, it is. Wow, 7:45. Mm-hmm. Almost 8 minutes. But a lot of it is just that really gorgeous, nearly ambient rock music going on in the back, so certainly not going to complain about that.
Until next week, if you are looking for a little bit more spice in your life, why don't you come on over to our Discord chat, available for our Patreon members at the mere $5 a month level. We have every flavor of the Tall Skull spice box talking it up in there.
Maybe I can fetch for it. Maybe I can stretch for that 5-star rating and review that you promised you would give us for the holidays, and I still haven't seen it yet. So if you could do that, I would be more than happy to stretch for it. 5 stars, rating and review.
Bongo trot on over to our TeePublic page, where you can find branded Talk Tall to Me merch. Oh, we should do a curry shirt.
Oh, we should. A cat eating a curry.
A cat curry.
Ooh.
Ooh. Until next week, I am Omen Thomas Sade, and I mean Omen Thomas Sade.
I may not be a fat man, and I'm not exactly a tall, thin girl. I'm Nick McGill.
We can't afford to eat out in smart restaurants. We are the Feckless Moans.
And you can carry us off to bed.
And I mean bed.
We're Talk Tall to Me.
And I mean use us as a sleep podcast.
While through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. His knife see rustic labor dight, and cut you up with ready sight, trenching your gushing entrails bright like ony ditch. And then, oh, what a glorious sight! For Talk Tall to Me is a proud member of the Feckless Moans Audio Network. Thank you.